So welcome to today's FatherHeart.tv webcast. It is Wednesday, July the 3rd, 2019, and my name is Barry Adams, and I'm with my amigo Mark Jide. I'm broadcasting from Canada, Mark's from England, and you are where you are, and today we are wrapping up the last session before summer in the webcast, and Mark and I are going to have a conversation, I think based on Romans 5:5-ish. This is, so where we go, but, Mark, would you mind just opening in prayer and then we'll see, then take it from there?
Okay, Father, thank you, just for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the fun we've had over these 9 years, just doing these webcasts and seeing many, many lives changed. Father, thank you even today, just hearing testimonies of people's lives transformed by the power of your love. And Father, we just want to say, will you go on transforming our lives by the power of your love? That Father, in another 9-10 years time, we would look back and realize at this point in time, we'd only just begun, because you've got so much more for us. You've got so much more that you want to do in our hearts. You've got so much more you want to do through us. You've got a greater revelation of who you are to be revealed to this broken world. And so, Father, we give you thanks, and we do just ask that even this evening as we talk together, the words we speak will be your words, and revelation and life would flow from your heart. Amen.
Amen.
So, shall I kick it off?
I'll pass it over to you.
So, I just thought it would be just good to bat around together a very common verse. It's a verse that Barry and I have spoken about a lot. We mention it a lot of times on the webcast, and it's a verse I know you're all familiar with, but I want to tell you today about the frustration I've had with this verse over the years, and you know how I really struggled to really see this verse as a life-changing one. And the verse, of course, is Romans 5, verse 5, and the bit of the verse that we quote regularly is the second part of the verse. You know, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And, you know, I'm sure everybody on the webcast, everybody who's watching this video, you know, you've heard us mention that many, many times. You know, the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And, of course, that's absolutely true. But that's the second part of the verse. And the first part of the verse says this. It says, hope does not put us to shame or disappoint us. You know, hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And I remember I used to think about that verse, and I used to think, well, I am disappointed. You know, I've had hope for things, and I've tried to hang on to things in hope, and you know, I've believed for things, and it's like constantly feeling disappointed because the things you hope for don't come about. And so, you know, I would read this verse, hope doesn't disappoint because God's love has been poured into our hearts. And I would think, well, I know God's love has been poured into my heart, but I still feel disappointed. And I remember one day I just took this verse back to Father, and I said, Father, I love this verse. I love the second half of this verse. I love the idea of your love being poured into our hearts, because we know he pours his love into our hearts. He doesn't pour his love into our minds. He pours his love into our hearts. And I took it back to Father, and I said, Father, it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense when you read it in the context of the first few verses of that chapter, you know, because it's not very encouraging on one level. You know, it says in verse 3, we glory in our sufferings. Well, you know, come on. How many of us like doing that? You know, glorying in our sufferings. We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces this elusive thing called hope. And because we've got hope, we're never disappointed because God's poured his love into our hearts. And I'm kind of thinking, I don't know that I like that. And I took it back to Father one day. I said, Father, what does this mean? And he said, turn it upside down. So this is what I said to Barry last night. I said, why don't we look at the upside down version of Romans 5 verse 5? And he came back to me and said, what? You know, like, oh, so Barry, haven't you heard of the upside down version of Romans 5 verse 5? So let me give you the upside down version of Romans 5 verse 5. You know, the version according to Mark Jide. And this is, I really felt this is what Father said when I was trying to get some deeper understanding of this verse. What he said was this, he said, because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we are able to glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, that perseverance produces character, and that character produces hope. And it's that hope, because he has poured his love into our hearts, that will sustain us and keep us going. You see, and what I suddenly saw was it doesn't end with the love of God. You know, when you read those verses in Romans, you go through this progression of suffering, perseverance, character, la-di-da-di-da-di-da. You take a deep breath and you end up with the love of God. And I felt the Father say to me, he said, Mark, it doesn't end with the love of the Father being poured into your hearts. It begins with the love of the Father being poured into your hearts. And it's because his love is being poured into our hearts that we can go through suffering. And it's because his love has been poured into our hearts that we can persevere. You see, we can't make ourselves persevere. And we definitely can't make ourselves change our character. You know, I mean, come on. We've all tried to change our character, haven't we? You know, we've worked hard to try and make ourselves better people. And we might do it for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Or if you're Barry, you can do it for a couple of months. But, you know, it's a struggle to change our character. And it's not something we can do in our own strength. But when we are living in the love of the Father, when the love of the Father has been poured into our hearts, our character will automatically change. And I just found the Father say, it starts with his love. It doesn't end with his love. It begins with his love. And his love is the stabilizing rock upon which we build everything else. You know, it's the only thing that's going to change us. It's the only thing that's going to give us hope is building our lives on the foundation of the Father's love. You know, otherwise sufferings are just hard work and sufferings are just painful. And, you know, sufferings are difficult and we get worn down. But when we face those sufferings from an overflow of his love into our hearts, we are empowered and enabled to walk through those sufferings. It's the only way we can do it. And, you know, I don't know where this discussion is going to go this evening, but the thing I just want to sort of throw out there is something I guess we all know, but I just want to underline it for us, is that we need to just keep remembering that everything starts with the love of the Father. It's not like the love of the Father is a reward for suffering and perseverance and changing your character. It's not like, you know, you've reached a finishing line here. Let me give you a gift of the Father's love. It's kind of like the Father pours his love into our hearts. And that is the thing that enables us. It's the stabilizing rock that gives us this everlasting hope. So that's kind of a long introduction. And I'll see what Barry's got to say.
I just say amen. Back to you.
Oh, it's a short webcast tonight.
No, I totally agree. When Mark said to flip it upside down, I wasn't quite sure what the upside down Romans 5:5 message was, but it's interesting, and I think it's very, very clear even in the text, in Romans 5:5, where it says, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts." So it's everything that precedes, as Mark said, what, you know, the suffering and the perseverance and the producing of character, it's all those things are because God has poured his love in our hearts. And again, it's, you know, I know I've had this discussion with Mark, and theologically he has actually set me straight, you know, because there's this saying, right, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? And, of course, from a creationist perspective, God created the chicken before he created the egg. But I think it's that same kind of dilemma that when we talk about the love of God, and it, you know, it feels like it's motherhood and apple pie. It feels like it's everybody agrees with it. You're not going to get anybody disagreeing with the idea that, you know, love has to be foundational, but it's the way that we live our life and the way it's manifest in our daily life. Are we, you know, because we live in a broken world system, an orphan-based system that, you know, you're only as good as your last achievement. I mean, whether that's in celebrity or in business or in pretty much anything that is a measurement in the world system, it's like it's not what you've done yesterday, but what have you done for me today? And so I still think it does bear continually revisiting this, at least for me, because I need to be reminded as well, because it is so subtle that we can kind of live a life where we, you know, where we kind of make a mental assent to this and say, yeah, love it, you know, make love your greatest aim, yeah, live in love, do everything in love, you know, keep yourself in the love of God, yeah, but then we actually live in a way that we're not living from being loved, but we are, in a sense, in a pursuit of love as if we don't have it, and it's like maybe one day if we work hard enough or perform enough that one day we will actually get what we're looking for. And then that's kind of like the hamster on the wheel or chasing the donkey with the carrot. It just like, it just never comes. So yeah, I just think it's a good reminder for all of us to understand that the very substance of whatever happens in life, right? And you know, I know there's even, you know, there's theology in the Christian perspective that even suffering, in a sense, is an indication of punishment or an indication of lack of faith, or, and then all of a sudden all of these other things are just kind of piled on us even more, the condemnation and what did I do wrong and I didn't pray enough, I didn't read enough, I didn't, you know, believe enough or whatever. But when we start understanding that love comes first, that, you know, again, it's, our life is meant to be a response, right? To love. We love because he first loved us. We were never meant to initiate love in the sense that we were meant to receive it and respond to it. Because, you know, I think it was Mike Bickle that said it takes God, only God can love God, right? It's just like, it's the love that God has is poured into our hearts, and by which, you know, and that's where, again, this precedes, I mean, the Abba cry in Romans 8, right, where the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So I just say a big amen. I mean, I said a big amen right at the beginning. I could have stopped there. But all I'm saying, Mark, is I totally believe it's the case. And, again, it's just like when Jesus says, you know, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? You know, how many sermons have we heard in the past that the proof of the love is in the keeping of the commandment rather than if you love.
Yeah, then.
Love will lead you to keep the commandments because love, for love's sake, takes us higher than the law could ever. So, I agree completely with what you're saying, man. Keep on feeding us.
I think I think one of the things I've been hearing recently from people is, and just in conversations with people in different situations is people referring to God as Father, but you can tell deep down they don't know him as Father. You know, they refer to him as Father. That's kind of like a title, but it's not a relationship. And the other thing I've heard people just kind of, it's kind of like a language, I guess, I've been hearing is people talking about what Jesus did rather than who Jesus was. Yeah. You know, so that we talk about the miracles Jesus did. We talk about the lives he changed, but we don't hear that language of people talking, well, you know, Jesus was a son and he did all of these things out of his sonship. And to me, that's kind of like a really subtle shift, because of course it's all true. You know, all the things Jesus did are true. And, you know, referring to God as Father is a true statement, but it's moving people away from the heart connection and the relationship with him. And what this verse is saying is that, you know, whatever else is going on in our lives, the starting point, the bottom line is God has poured his love into our hearts. Mm. And it's when we experience him loving us, it's when we experience that love in our hearts, it's when we experience the transforming power of his love that we're enabled, I think, to shift back to what is the centrality of the gospel. See, when we have an encounter with love, and, you know, I know you guys on the webcast are on the webcast because you've had an encounter with love. You know, but when we, it's so easy just to sort of be subtly shifted away from that and back into the doing and the activity and the busyness. And it's a very, very subtle shift. And I've just recently been hearing a lot of people talking that language, and something in me says, yes, yes, I get that. It's true, but it's not the centrality of the gospel. See, when we know that the love of the Father is being poured into our hearts, you know, it's an ongoing pouring into. It's that brings us back to this centrality where we know that we know that we know that God is our Father. And what we see in the life of Jesus is the perfect example of sonship. You know, we're not looking at what he did and trying to emulate what he did, but we're looking at him and saying, I want to walk my life like he walked his life, which is in relationship with the Father. It's to be a son. And so for me, it's like, I guess what I'm trying to encourage us for tonight is just to, and this is something Barry says, of course, many, many times, is to make the main thing the main thing. You know, and the main thing is the love of the Father. And I guess, you know, my encouragement is not to allow ourselves to be subtly shifted away, but to really have our focus, our eyes fixed upon the Father, because he is the source of all the love we need. And as he pours his love into our hearts, it will sustain us through the difficult seasons, the difficult times. It will give us hope for what might be a difficult future. You know, because you know, the reality is we don't know what lies ahead, do we? You know, we might think we know what we're doing tomorrow. You know, Barry thinks he's going to Toronto tonight. I think I'm going to Denmark tomorrow. I mean, probably I will, and probably Barry will, but, you know, at the end of the day, we don't know what our future is, but it's being totally, totally filled with the love of the Father that gives us that hope and that security that surpasses all knowledge. And so I guess, you know, our encouragement this evening is let's come back to making the main thing the main thing.
Yeah, and I think the, you know, one of the things this passage of Scripture, at least it does for me, is it kind of dismantles self-effort. Like if you continue on, in verse 6 of Romans 5, after Paul says that, you know, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, then verse 6 says, You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it talks about, verse 10, it talks about us being his enemies. So when you think about, you know, and again, this understanding of love having to be earned or deserved, in this passage of Scripture, Paul is talking about that Christ died for us when we were powerless. Mm-hmm. Christ died for us when we were sinners. Christ died for us when we were the enemy of God. And so when we start to understand that it's not about us, it's never been about us. It's always been about God's love for us and his willingness to be reconciled to us through what Jesus did on the cross. And I still, you know, oftentimes, you know, or oftentimes, sometimes, when I minister places, you know, people will come up after and say, well, I don't feel God loves me. I don't feel it. And I understand, you know, we live in an orphan world system where the world is screaming out the contrary sometimes, you know, and our life experience can oftentimes scream out against the revelation of his love. But, you know, my encouragement, I think our encouragement would be too, that when, that we do, like, my encouragement would be that we would never ever look to our own subjective perspective about how we feel about God or how we feel he loves us, and that any time that we, in essence, have any kinds of doubt that he loves us, he did love us, he is loving us, you know, I really believe the cross is the once and for all token of the Father's love. In 1 John 4:10, John writes, he says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. And he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And so, if you're on the webcast or you're hearing this afterwards and you're saying, well, I don't feel God loves me. I've had a bad life. I'm struggling with different issues or whatever. And those things are valid. And in my prayer, I think our prayer would be that the Father would open up your eyes, your spiritual understanding to see how close he is in the midst of those struggles. But, I still believe that when we start to understand that the love of God, he loves us full on. The Father can only love one way, and that's with all his heart, and all his mind, and all his strength. He can't love us in any other way, any other measure. And he loved us when we were powerless. He loved us when we were sinners. He loved us when we were enemies. And so that is the love that continues to love us, continues to be poured into our hearts by the Spirit, which he has given us. You know, and that's the Spirit, as Mark said, that's the Spirit of sonship. And so, again, I'm just saying that I know it's not rocket science, but, my prayer is that any time that I feel that I'm not loved, that I would have a fresh revelation of the cross and the initiation of the Godhead to bring us, be reconciled to his heart through what Jesus did. Because, you know, we're still powerless. I don't know about you. If you feel you're powerful, you know, maybe good on you for feeling that way, but, you know, Paul had a revelation of weakness that it's when he's weak, that's when strength of Christ is perfected, not when we're strong. So, yeah, I just think that, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when, you know, I've heard people say, you know, in a well-meaning way, you know, I've heard every Father Heart message, I know the Father loves me, what else you got? And I just think, This whole idea of the love of God, if somehow the love of God does not satisfy us, my humble submission to you as your brother would be perhaps we don't have as full a picture of the love of God as he would like us to have, because I truly believe that eternity it's going to be all about us unpacking this ocean of his affection. Immeasurable love that he has, and we'll be continuing. I think in 10,000 years, I'll be going to Mark's galaxy and where he's ruling and reigning with Jesus in that galaxy, and we'll be talking about the love of God and just how we're continuing to grow in it. So,
yeah. I know. In Jeremiah it says, doesn't it? You know, God says prophetically, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." really the past tense. It's, you know, I have loved you, I am loving you, and I will love you. Because if it's an everlasting love, it runs from the beginning of eternity to the end of eternity, and therefore it's a sort of continual presence of being loved. And it's like encountering the love of the Father is not just a single one-off event. It's a lifelong journey. You know, if we think it's a one-off event, go to a Father Heart school, go to a Father Heart conference, get prayed for, you know, I've got it, then we're shortchanging ourselves, because that's just the beginning. You know, it's like there is a depth of relationship and revelation that is going to be revealed to us as we journey with the Father. And I was just actually reading these verses from Romans 5 in the Passion Translation. And I'll just read those out now. I'm actually going to start at the top of the chapter, verse 1. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. Now, I just want to stop there and say, you know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we see the negatives in our lives. We see the flaws. And we don't declare ourselves flawless. You know, we declare ourselves faulty, you know, problems. And, you know, we see the negative, and sometimes we major on the negative, and sometimes the negative is very big and very real. And it kind of, those negative things, they shape the way we think about ourselves. But what Paul is saying here is, in Jesus, the righteousness of God has been transferred to you. And he declares us flawless in his eyes. So whatever you think about yourself, however you're feeling about yourself, the truth is that the Father sees you as flawless, because his righteousness has come into your heart through Jesus. And yeah, that's huge. That's big. And we struggle to believe that sometimes, but we have to come back to standing on the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so it goes on, you know, that his righteousness has been transferred into us. So this means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what Jesus has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. See, it's just such an incredible picture of an amazing gift, isn't it? You know, we've been given this permanent access into this beautiful relationship with the Father. And, you know, it leads us to hope, because the love of the Father is cascading into our hearts. It was last year, last April, I was over with Barry and Anne in Canada, and we went to the Niagara Falls. And I mean, many of you might have been there, but it's absolutely incredible. I know this is in Barry's backyard, but it's an incredible thing to stand at the side of and watch. I don't know if you get tired of it, Barry, but you see all this water pouring over the edge of the falls, and it's like this huge cascade of water, and it's incredibly powerful, it's incredibly strong, and it's never ending, and it's this roar of this water cascading over the edge, and It's captivating. It's stunning to watch, and a glimpse of what the Father's love is like. You know, His love is cascading into our hearts. Yeah, that's not a trickle. It's not rationed. It's not a little bit for Barry, a little bit for me, and a little bit for all of you guys on the webcast. It's a cascade of love, an endless cascade of love pouring into your heart. And I think, wow, that's what the love of the Father is like. An endless supply of love. And, you know, I guess my encouragement from myself, my encouragement for you guys is, let's live under that cascade of love.
When you mentioned Jeremiah 31, where God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Jack, when you used to describe that passage of scripture as there's never been a time in all of eternity when you weren't loved. Mm-hmm. And could you imagine what life could look like? What would life look like for you and for me if we were totally aware and living in that, the reality of that eternal affection, not just the past, not just at salvation, you know, but in the past, the present, the future, that we are continually in this cascading, this torrent of the Father's affection. And I really believe, you know, it does take revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, for us to really grasp this. And that's why I think Paul prayed in Ephesians 3 that I pray that you'd be rooted and grounded in love, and that you'd be strengthened by the Spirit in your inner man, so that you might have power to grasp the bigness, really, how deep and how wide and how long and how high is the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, and that you might be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. I think we can read that and go, oh, okay, we'll go on to the next, you know, the next passage. And of course, the key verse to me in that whole passage is the next verse. I think it's verse 20 that says, unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask for, think, hope for, or imagine. And I think, you know, when we begin to understand that this is beyond our ability to grasp in our intellect, it's beyond our ability to understand with our earthly parents' love, it's beyond our ability to understand it with a religious mindset, but the only way, but the way the Father has designed us to receive it is through the pouring out by His Spirit into our hearts, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that opens up an eternal perspective on the cascading love that has always been for you before you were created. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 that in love He chose us to be in His family. He predestined us. You know, before He created the world, He had you and I in His heart. And so that, I think that's the love that, again, it's just, I know we all know, and, you know, as we take our summer break, it's really good to remind each other and say, yeah, let's just keep ourselves in the love of God. Let's, you know, when our intellect fails, and it does most times, words fail to describe the indescribable, that we just say, oh, Father, would you by your Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that you've freely given to us, and you're continuing to pour into our hearts. You know, Ephesians 5:17, I think, says, do not be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that word in the Greek, filled, is continually being filled. So if we make that connection with that verse about continually being filled with the Spirit of God, and then tied into Romans 5:5, the Spirit of God being filled with His Spirit, the Spirit of God is being filled with the love of God continually. Just, you know, and it's just like, could you imagine, you know, I think of it for myself, how would life change for me if I was aware of the continual waterfall of the Father's affection in me and around me and through me, and no matter what, no matter what suffering comes, no matter what disappointment comes, that it just absolutely sustains us through every circumstance. I think it would, I think it has the potential to change our lives a little bit. And I say that a little bit,
a lot. I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's good, eh?
So, yes. So I thought,
why don't we just pray for it?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Just put the music on and, you know, we can just, you know, I know I've said this many, many times, you know, but one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Ruach, the Hebrew, the Ruach of God, which is the breath of God. And Google tells us that the average person breathes over 20,000 times in any given 24-hour period. And so my prayer is always when I minister that, you know, we aren't, you know, we breathe intuitively. You know, you don't go, take breath. Okay, breathe out. Breathe in. We don't even think about breathing, and that, you know, with every breath that we take, that there would just be a deeper abiding of the presence and the love of the Father that would just wash over us, you know, whether we're thinking about it or not, that we would just be breathing in His love. So, yeah, let's just put on the music and see where we go. That sounds like a good plan to me, my brother.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Dad.
Yeah. Father, we just open our hearts to You afresh. And Father, would You just cascade Your love into our heart right now? Father, may something in our hearts be awakened to really, really believe the truth that there's never been a time in eternity that You've not loved us. Father, would You just wake us up to that truth? Father, may the eyes of our hearts see that afresh. And Father, may we just have a new and deeper, a fresh encounter with the love of the Father. The Father, as we sit in this place, we sit in Your presence. Whatever our day's been like, whatever this week's been like, whatever's going on in our lives, Father, we want to just pause and just open our hearts to this everlasting, endless cascade of Your love. Father, thank You that You're loving us all the time, whether we feel it or not. But Father, may we experience being loved right now. Thank You, Father.
Thank You, Father. Father, I just pray that You would just awaken in the core of our being just the reality of the love that You're pouring into our hearts right in this very moment.
Yeah.
Father, would we never ever live by the definition of a broken orphan world system any longer, that we would not be defined by what has happened in our life experience. Wow. We may have been victimized by a broken world system, by hurting parents, by abusive authority figures. But Father, I pray even right now by the power of Your Holy Spirit that is pouring out into our hearts right now, that we would know that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And there's nothing in all creation that can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life can't, death can't, angels can't, demons can't, the future can't, the present can't. There is nothing that can prevent us and separate us from experiencing your tangible outpouring of affection. There's things that try to separate us, Father, but nothing can separate us. So, Father, I just pray for all of us, Lord, that you would just cause us to have the eyes of our hearts wide open so that we could see the hope of our calling, that we could know it, and the glorious inheritance that we have together with all of the saints, and that we would know you better, Father. And that we would know why we were created, is to be in relationship with you, to be sons and daughters in our hearts. Thank you that you continue to love the orphan out of us, the orphan mindset, the orphan ways, the orphan belief systems. Father, you are, even in this moment, you are loving the orphan out of us. So, Father, we just take a deep breath and we just breathe in your love. We breathe in your acceptance. We breathe in your encouragement, your kindness, your generosity, your faithfulness, your patience with us. Wow. Father, would you awaken us right now to the fact that you're carrying us. You have carried us all the days of our life, and you will continue to carry us. Because you are Father. You've always been Father. It's the very core of who you are.